Unity.com. Well, good morning, everyone. Hey, good morning, everyone, again. That's some good enthusiasm this morning. Just really cool moment of worship, I thought. And we'll have a chance to sing that song again. But there's something, I don't know, just feels like this is a year where we need some good Christmas, right? And there is a little bit of a Christmas tie-in to the message this morning, so we're kind of moving in that direction. Now, we're continuing in 1 Peter chapter 1, and today we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 12. Now, just a reminder, if you want to turn there, feel free. Just a reminder that this section of Scripture we've been looking at for a couple of weeks now is it's a fairly long and detailed section of Scripture. But if you recall, verses 3 through 12 is like all one long sentence in the original Greek language. Now, that's because, as we mentioned early in the series, that's because the Greek language was not so particular about punctuation and things like we are in our English language. But this is a huge thought. So if you want to like take the last four messages and put them all together, it's kind of like summing up what, or expanding upon what Peter is getting at. So this, we're going to hear the whole passage one more time, but this last section, we're going to spin in a little different direction, although some things do tie in. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9 to start. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And then here's the part we're focusing in on this morning. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. The prophets foretold of the Savior and the salvation that he was going to bring. This was like nothing new. In fact, they've been doing that for 1,000+ years. Getting the words of God and talking about this coming Savior. The angels longed to look into these things, and not just look into them, but they were actually participants, right, in the birth of the Savior, and announcing the one who would bring salvation to all humanity. Now, I don't know, this passage doesn't specifically refer to the Christmas events and the things we typically tie into it, but to me, it kind of screams Christmas, and we're going to bring that back and tie that in a little bit later on. But first, let's work through this text a little bit. So some different phrases here that are important to understand. The first, he says, concerning this salvation. Concerning this salvation. Right now, let's be clear. Salvation is about being saved from something. Right? In Scripture, that refers to God delivering people from an eternity of separation from his love. Because of our sin and our rebellion against God, we deserve God's wrath. Now, we want to believe, and a lot of people do, they hold on to this idea that we're all good people, we just do some bad things from time to time. But Scripture gives us a very different picture of what the reality is. It tells us that we're all guilty and sinful people who deserve punishment for our sin, for wandering away and not measuring up to God's standards. But God loves us so much. He loves us so much that he sent Jesus into this world to be a perfect sacrifice. He took on this punishment that we deserved when he died on the cross. That was put on him. And now we get forgiveness and mercy and an eternity in heaven when we put our faith and trust in him. Right? And I just want to say that flat out to be really clear. We're all headed for destruction until or unless we put our faith and trust in Jesus. That's what Scripture tells us. Only Jesus offers salvation. He's the only way to be saved, to be spared the punishment for sin, to be made right with a perfect, holy, and righteous God. Jesus is our hope, and he's our only hope, our living hope. That's what Peter has been talking about. So this salvation, Peter says, is the salvation I've been telling you about. Right? It's the one that is already yours, but you haven't received it yet. It's the one you're waiting for, and it's waiting for you, actually, in heaven, that you are being guarded by God's power to receive it, and that no one or nothing can take it away from you because you have put your faith and trust in Jesus and in the work that he accomplished on the cross. Right? So Peter says, concerning this salvation, next phrase, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours. The prophets prophesied about the grace that was to be yours. Now, there have been throughout history individuals that God has spoken through, pointing us all toward this salvation that was coming. Right now, these prophets, they spoke of the grace that was to be ours, like Peter says here, the unmerited favor, the undeserved kindness that God would give us in sending Jesus to be our Savior. And even though these prophets, they spoke about Jesus and salvation, they didn't fully understand it all. So, it says, the next phrase, they searched and inquired carefully. Now, that seems like a fairly innocent little statement there. They searched and inquired carefully, but it's pretty important and pretty significant when you dig down to the deeper roots of the meanings of this, the words of this phrase. So the first part of this phrase that we translate search or sometimes sought out, to seek out, is the Greek word exeteo. Exeteo, and it means to seek after, to inquire, but the emphasis on this word is the motive or the intent of the seeker. Right? The prophets wanted to understand and know this for themselves. It was very personal for them. Like, God had given them words to say, but they longed to know what it was really all about. So when it comes to discovering Jesus, for us, is it an academic study, a theory that we're looking into? Is it a little side project or a hobby of ours? It's supposed to be a personal quest to really seek him, to really know him, right? The intent is to know him. The second phrase in here is the word exerunao, means to search diligently, to examine carefully, or to inquire carefully. Now, this is referring to the manner or the intensity with which they went about investigating this stuff, right? They pursued and investigated every little detail as thoroughly as possible, and with all due diligence to try to figure it out the best they could. All right, so we put these two things together, and here's what we understand about the prophets. Their intent was personal, and their intensity was strong. Right, that's what they were going after. Now let's consider that in our own lives. When it comes to understanding Jesus, knowing Jesus, what's our intent? What's our motive? Is knowing Jesus actually going to shape and change how we live and how we love and how we act? When it comes to knowing Jesus, what kind of intensity do we have about that? Are we really pursuing him with all that we are, or is it just more of a casual investigation in our life? Something that isn't that big deal, isn't a huge priority for us. Right? What God wants us to do is to seek Jesus personally with intensity. Right? With all due diligence, to be determined to find him, to discover him, to figure him out, and to know him well. When we do that, God promises we're going to find what we're looking for. He says we will seek him and find him when we seek him with all our heart. Right? With the right motive and the right intent and the right intensity. The prophets who prophesied concerning the salvation that is now yours were seeking him wholeheartedly. They were searching and inquiring carefully. Verse 11. Inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating. Inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating. Now again, God had put these words on their hearts, and they were words they were supposed to share with the people. It was the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, who was speaking to them and through them in those moments. Right? And he was pointing them toward the coming salvation. Next phrase, when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. The sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. So that salvation that he was talking about was going to be accomplished through both the sufferings of Jesus, what he endured on the cross, and the subsequent glories, the honor and the praise and the splendor that would follow. Now the people and the prophets, they knew someone was coming. Right? They knew the Messiah was coming. They knew there was going to be a promised one, but they had some questions about that. Like, they have been given prophecies like we read about in Isaiah 53, which talks about being smitten, stricken by God, and afflicted. That talks about being like a lamb led to the slaughter, or like a sheep before the shears, being silent, being crushed according to the will of the Lord, being oppressed and afflicted and despised and rejected. So the promised one was going to be a suffering servant. But they were also given prophecies, like in Isaiah 9, which speaks of him as Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the one who will be established on the throne of David, and his dominion would increase without end, his kingdom would reign forevermore. So the promised one would be this conquering king who would reign forever. Right? This is the same prophet, but two different ideas. It didn't make sense to them. In fact, that was one of the questions that they wrestled with, even with Jesus, the crowds did. How could the Messiah be both one who suffers and dies, yet one who reigns, and his reign never ends? In John chapter 12, verses 32 through 34, we see Jesus talking about this dilemma with the crowds. Jesus says, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth," referring to him dying on the cross, "will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answer him, "We've heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? And who is this Son of Man?" Right? They knew it was true. It was God's word. It was spoken through the prophets. But they didn't know how it could be true. It was like looking at two different colored pieces of a puzzle and going, how do these fit into the big picture? We don't understand. Of course, it makes a whole lot more sense to us now that in Jesus, both things are true. Yes, he suffered. And yes, he died. But he rose from the grave and he will reign forever. Now, the prophets themselves, they were trying to figure out this, though. They were trying to figure out the who and the when and the how. Right? And then here's what God showed them, verse 12. Take a look at verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you. Right? So the message of the coming Messiah, it wasn't going to be immediate. They wouldn't see it accomplished in their lives, but they knew that he would one day come. So it wasn't for them, it was for you. How would that take place? The next phrase, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. That's a really long phrase, but the things now announced to you through the good news, he's talking about the gospel. Right? The message that you've heard about Jesus, that you've responded to, that you've put your faith and trust in. Those who shared it with you, who preached the good news to you, did so because of the work of the Holy Spirit, who is sent from heaven and is working through them and in you. So the prophets, they long to know more about all this stuff. And not just the prophets, Peter says, but these are also, last phrase, things into which angels long to look. Right? Even the angels didn't get it. Even the angels didn't get it. There are angels who are created beings, by the way. We want to get that straight. They are made by God, not to be worshipped or adored like God is, but they were created to serve his purposes and to worship God. That's what they were made for. Now, most of those created beings have remained faithful, according to Scripture, and devoted to God. There's no need for them to experience salvation. Right? They never fell. Now, some of them rebelled against God. Satan and the demons are fallen angels. And there is no opportunity for salvation for them. There is for us. Right? We get to experience God's mercy and grace and forgiveness and salvation. But for the angels, whether it's the good angels or the fallen angels, they can't relate to it. They don't understand it because it's not an option for them. Salvation isn't something they will ever experience. So they too are seeking to understand it. Peter says they long to look into these things. It's a great phrase, but it's interesting because when he talks about looking into, it's the picture of someone who like stoops down, right, to look into something, whose head is bowed forward and who's hunched over and kind of looking, bent over, looking, seeking to see and understand. It's an interesting word picture here because it's the same imagery that's written about what happened with Peter when he ran to the tomb to see the risen Jesus. Right? Here's Luke 24:12. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. He went home marveling at what had happened. And John 20:5 talks about John stooping to look into the tomb too. Right? They were curious to see and know just what had happened to Jesus. Well, that's the picture that Peter uses for the angels. The angels are curious too. They are stooping down to look into the mystery of salvation. The one that's available to us, the thing that's available to us, but not possible for them. It's something they will never experience. So there are curious angels all around us. Now here's the thing about both the prophets and the angels regarding this salvation. Now it was eventually made possible, of course, through Christ, but all they could do was wait for it to be revealed. That's all they could do was wait. Like God was saying, wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. Like 1,000+ years. Wait for it. That's all they could do was wait for all that time. But two things I hope that we'll see this morning, want us to see this morning. First is this. We can relate to what the prophets went through because we too are waiting for what they were waiting for, right? We are waiting for what they were waiting for, the arrival of Jesus. Now, the people of Israel and the prophets of old, they were waiting for the coming of the Messiah, the arrival of Jesus, the hope of Israel. Even the angels were curious about it, right? They were all waiting for him to come the first time. And we're waiting too. But we're waiting for his return. Right? Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, will come again. We will see him face to face, either at his return or in eternity when our life comes to an end. Until that day comes, we live our life in anticipation of it, just like they did. We wait just like they did. We are waiting for what they were waiting for, Jesus. But here's where things are different. Because for us, Jesus has come already. The King is here. We sang that song earlier, right? It happened just like God had foretold that it would. They didn't get to live in the fulfillment of that promise, but we do. So here's the second thing, is this. We are living in what they were longing for. Right? We're living in now what they were longing for. Unlike the people, the prophets of old, we can see that what God has said would happen has actually happened. It's come to pass, which means we can now count on the things that God has promised us. We know that. And that should give us hope. That should give us greater hope. So when God says we have this living hope and we have this inheritance waiting for us and a salvation that is guaranteed and that we are being guarded and protected by God for that, we can have incredible confidence in it. Why? Because, well, we're living in what they were longing for. What God promised has come to pass. Even though we don't have it yet, what he has promised, we'll get it one day. We can be confident of his promises because we are right now living in what was promised long ago and came to be. Despite our current difficulties, despite our trials, despite the challenges, we know God's promises come true. Case in point, Jesus. Right? Jesus. So how does all this tie into Christmas? Well, the whole point of Jesus coming into the world was to bring us salvation. The salvation that Peter is talking about here, right? The prophets were pointing to his coming. The angels were curious about it too. They were the ones who announced it. Gabriel appeared to Mary and told her she would give birth to a son. Then an angel appeared to Joseph and told him not to worry about the fact that Mary was pregnant, even though they weren't married, right? It was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Matthew 1:21 says, the angel speaking to Joseph says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He will save them. Salvation. And then an angel appeared to the shepherds in the fields in Luke chapter 2. The angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Right? A Savior, who is Christ the Lord. One who is going to bring salvation. Jesus has come. He has brought us salvation. This salvation that we have now is only possible because Jesus stepped out of eternity and came into our world. Right? God is with us, Emmanuel. So clearly, 1 Peter 1:10 through 12 is a Christmas passage, right? Because it all got real when Jesus was born. Now, God's plan didn't start with the birth of Jesus. Again, he had predicted, foretold it from the very start. And it didn't end there. He's still working in the world and drawing people to himself. But concerning the salvation, it was accomplished through Jesus the Savior, whose birth we're celebrating in the days ahead. And here's what I want us to think about. If the team wants to come up, we're going to close with a few more songs of worship, and they're Christmas songs, but here's what I want us to think about as we close. Whenever we are focusing on Jesus, we are focusing on the Savior, the one who brought us salvation. Right? When we are focusing on the teachings of Jesus, we're focusing on the Savior, the one who brought us salvation. When we reflect on the miracles of Jesus, we are reflecting on the Savior, the one who brought us salvation. When we remember the death of Jesus, we remember the Savior, the one who brought us salvation. When we're worshiping the risen Jesus, we are worshiping the Savior, the one who brought us salvation. And when we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we are celebrating the Savior, the one who brought us salvation. It doesn't matter which part we're focusing on. It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. So the rest of our morning, as we sing a few more songs of worship, as we gather on Christmas Eve and as we go about this season, it's not just about singing songs that are appropriate for the season. It's all about Jesus, the one who saves, the Savior, the one who brought salvation to us. Let's close in prayer and we'll stand and sing together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for what Jesus has done. We want to thank you for giving us that gift of Jesus. We want to thank you that you have made a way for us to be right with you. You've brought an opportunity and an offer and an invitation for us to put our faith and trust in you and to receive that salvation that we've been talking about this morning. And we are thankful for it. And at the same time this morning, if there's somebody listening, watching online, who's going, yeah, I've never taken that step of faith, this is an opportunity to do that. To just simply say, I believe, God, that you gave Jesus to die for me. Yes, I believe he was born into this world, but it was for a purpose. To offer life, to offer hope, to offer salvation. Where I receive forgiveness and mercy for the things I've done wrong, even though I don't deserve it, because you loved me that much that you gave him to die for me. I believe this and put my faith and trust in you and ask for that to be accomplished in me, that there would be salvation, that I would be saved. And as we've looked at your word this morning, we understand that when you make a promise, it comes to pass. You promised that anyone who would call upon you on the name of the Lord would be saved, and we call out to you this morning. Whether it's for the first time, whether it's recommitting our life, whether it's getting our life back on track, or just once again saying thank you for what you've done, we worship you in this moment, in this morning, with songs of praise. And while they're Christmas songs, we remember it's all about you, Jesus. We worship you in the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.